KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The light rain that's fallen across the Bay Area has been great for firefighting efforts, but it's also a reminder that we're entering California's wet season. Fire-ravaged areas are at greater risk of floods and mudslides, and there's concern that toxic runoff from the fires could endanger water resources. In this second half-hour forum, we're talking with water officials about how to prepare for the risks that lie ahead. And let me tell you who is joining us. Matt St. John is Executive Director of the North Coast Regional Water Board. Good morning, Matt St. John.
Good morning, Mina. Glad to be on.
Thanks for being with us. We're also joined by Mike Mierzwa. He's the lead flood management planner for the California Department of Water Resources. Good morning, Mike Mierzwa.
Good morning, Mina.
Let's start, if you would, Mike Mierzwa, by describing to us what effect wildfire has on the land.
Excellent. Wildfires actually pull out a lot of the vegetation, but the canopy, tree cover, and a lot of the grasses, the vegetation is an important component in actually trapping and slowing a lot of the floodwater as it moves through our watersheds. The lack of that vegetation means that there'll be an increased chance of flash flooding in local areas, and in some hill slopes, the possibility of actually having mud or debris flows.
And how long after a fire do these charred landscapes remain at risk?
The time for recovery of these watersheds depends on a couple of factors. It depends in part where the actual watershed is. But bottom line, it could be anywhere from 1 to 4 years for the watershed to recover, given good winters for the vegetation to reestablish.
And we know that, properties directly affected by the fires are at risk for things like flash floods and mud flows. But who else?
Well, the other people, everybody's exposed, and one of the most common concerns that we actually have is street flooding or loss of transportation corridors. This is something that's happened in Southern California as well as on the backside of the Sierra Nevada, where the debris flow can actually clog the drainage structures for the roads, and the street flooding can lead to actual accidents.
Well, Matt St. John, let me bring you into the conversation. Can you talk specifically about, Sonoma and Napa counties, which is, I understand, your area of focus, the region that you're focused on?
Well, that's right. And I would just start by saying one of the things that's particularly challenging associated with the recent fires in Sonoma and Napa counties is that it burned both wildland, natural landscapes, as well as, urban centers. And the types of threats to water resources differ based on those different landscapes. Very briefly, in the natural landscape, as Mike, mentioned, with the loss of vegetation, those areas become prone to erosion, where dirt and sediment can wash off hillsides and be problematic to streams and watercourses. In the urban area, it's a whole different set of water quality threats. Toxic and hazardous materials become a significant concern.
You mean the types of chemicals we have in our homes or products, things like that?
That's exactly right. I mean, so it's stored materials, paints, pesticides, things that we, many homeowners have in their garages, and when burned, many of those types of materials are left behind. They can actually change form and become even more toxic. And so these are the types of parameters include metals, byproducts from, incinerated petroleum-based materials, rubber, plastics, things like that.
How concerned are you then, Matt St. John, that these contaminants could get into our drinking water?
Well, there is certainly that concern. In the areas of the fires in Sonoma and Napa counties, the good news that I can say is that most of the areas, the drinking water systems seem to be back up and running. In some areas, there still are boil water notices. The main thing is that any homeowner needs to contact their local water district to determine whether any boil water notices are in effect. With boil water, I mean, the concern is that in some places power went out, loss of power, which means that there was some potential for cross-contamination of bacteria that can get into those drinking water systems. But the municipalities, the water districts, you know, they're very closely monitoring. They're doing lots of testing as we speak. But as far as the contaminants like hydrocarbons and metals and things like that, again, the water districts have filtration systems, treatment systems that generally can do a good job removing those types of pollutants.
Even, say, if there was significant debris flow because of the charred landscapes and the water that is not being absorbed by the land as well because of the fires?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the concern. You know, much of the affected area gets their drinking water from groundwater as opposed to surface water. And so, you know, so soil is an amazing filter to filter out these types of pollutants that can be problematic. But so the good news is that much of the affected area does get their water from groundwater. Mm. So immediate impacts are going to be less. And that those that are on surface water, there is lots of testing going on and filtration and treatment systems in place.
We're talking about the effect California's rainy season could have on areas burned by recent wildfires. We're looking at the risk of flooding, of contaminated water, and we'll talk about what could be done to reduce the damage. But first, let me invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation if you have any thoughts or questions for our guests. The number is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can post them on Facebook, on Twitter. We're at KQED Forum, and you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Mike Mearswell, one of the things that I remember after the Valley Fire, the rains after the Valley Fire, was there were significant mud flows, essentially. And what are you concerned about with regard to that? And what have we learned based on the experience of Lake County on how best to try to deal with this?
Right. So first, the leading cause of fatalities in any flood event is actually people going out and driving through what look like low flooding conditions on roads, but actually they're deeper than they expect. It only takes about 3 feet of water to actually have a car lifted up and carried down with the current there, and then you'll end up in a waterway, and that's where the drowning happens. There are several things that government agencies can do and individuals can do. One of the things that government agencies can do in burn areas is identify where the critical infrastructure is, your roads, where you're going to have hospitals, schools, as well as private property, and put in measures to prevent the debris flow from actually moving through those structures or those drainage culverts. The Department of Water Resources is actually deploying containers to Sonoma County in response to the burns that happened over the past week and a half. We're basically going to have about at least a mile of protection for each container that we send out there. Each of these containers contains about 12,000 sandbags and about 2,000 stakes that can then be pre-deployed by a hydrologist to protect those areas.
And the rain that we just had, Mike Mearswell, that we're okay. Am I right that wasn't significant enough to cause some of the problems that you're worried about at this point?
That's right. Usually what we're worried about are the wintertime rains, the storms that come right around Christmas and continue through the end of February. In a burn area, I have an informal, what I call a 3x3 rule, which is we're really worried in the burn areas about when you have 1 to 3 inches of rainfall coming in 1 to 3 hours of time. It's really intense rainfall that'll just strip that bare land and create the debris flow.
I see. Well, let's hear from some of our listeners. Guillermo in San Leandro. Hi, Guillermo.
Hi. Yes, my question is whether you have reached out to the state or the authorities can give a little warning to homeowners who wants to clean up their properties and have a remediation team available to supervise the crews and people who will come over to clean up so it doesn't reduce the impact on the groundwater by getting it done properly instead of just rushing out and clean up and ended up that we have a more mess of pollution being disturbed by not having a remediation team being supervised in this situation.
Mike Mirzwa, do you have a response to Guillermo?
I don't have a really perfect response other than really the responsibility of that type of cleanup happens at the local county level. But I want to put it in a little context. After Hurricane Harvey came through Houston, Texas, Harris County, Texas, has been talking about actually assessing a new special tax on all the citizens in Harris County, literally to go through and address all of the debris cleanup. So it's a very good question.
Matt St. John, yes, if you'd like to add anything.
I would, thank you. So the response to these fires, these recent fires in Sonoma and Napa counties, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is going to be the lead agency to do the assessment and cleanup of burned property, private properties. And then the California Office of Emergency Services will be in the lead for the assessment and cleanup of burned properties on public lands. So a couple things that I would say is that, as I mentioned earlier, there can be toxic and hazardous materials left behind after the fire. And so it's really important that individual homeowners treat that material as potentially toxic and hazardous and work with the appropriate agencies in handling any of that waste. Use of, basic personal protective gear is critical, gloves, even masks. If an individual homeowner, needs to have contact with any of that material. There are, from a water quality protection standpoint, there are basic things that property owners can do to keep these contaminants out of streams and waterways. And they're really, simple measures to divert runoff to keep it from getting into their storm drains or creeks. So, Mike mentioned sandbags. I mean, sandbags can be incredibly effective in on a small scale to divert runoff and keep it out of storm drains and creeks. Use of straw bales also can be very effective as immediate kind of short-term measures. The purpose here is to keep that that stormwater runoff out of the creeks and let it soak into the ground, where again the ground can provide some natural filtration.
Well, let's hear from Joe in San Francisco. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to ask?
Oh, a few programs ago, we saw an aerial shot of burnt buildings, snow white, in a field of snow white, surrounded by what looked like untouched forest in all directions. Did the fire just go by burning grass and then igniting the homes and leaving the trees untouched? Or are the trees damaged? And if they are damaged, are not damaged, are they good for retaining water and so forth?
Hmm. Mike Mearswood, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I'm not the best expert on what's happening with the trees, but different trees will respond to fire in different ways. Fire is a natural process in a wilderness landscape, and some types of trees actually are resistant at, on the base there to the fire. So that could be what's happening.
Well, thanks for the question, Joe. Hope that sheds some light on it. Hyla writes, first worry about the fires being out. Mike Mirza, are we, you know, getting a little ahead of ourselves here? Is this too soon to be worried about this kind of thing, especially given the fact that, yes, the fires are not completely out?
No, this is actually the perfect time to be worried about flash flooding and debris flow. Actually, tomorrow, October 21st, is the kickoff across the state of California for Flood Preparedness Week, which ends on the 27th of October. And the message is that flooding can happen at any time. But there's three things that we really want people to do, and that's part of our theme of don't wait, be prepared. The first thing is when you're going through into our wet season, which is normally October through April in California, is to get an emergency kit, much like you would have an evacuation kit. This is the types of things you would need when you're leaving your home for flooding. The next thing you can do to protect your personal property is buy flood insurance. Most people don't realize it takes about 30 days for a policy to kick into play. So we send out notifications in some areas of the state starting the beginning of September so that people will have their flood policies active once we get into the middle of October. And then the last part is when you're driving anywhere, have a plan in your mind of multiple evacuation or driving routes. These same three principles for actually protecting yourself from flooding also are things you need to do to protect yourself from wildfires.
Does flood insurance cover the impact of mudslides, say, if that comes to you?
Yes, actually flood insurance and some homeowners' policies can cover the actual mudslide.
And again, we're talking with Mike Mearswood. He's lead flood management planner for the California Department of Water Resources. We're also joined by Matt St. John, executive officer for the North Coast Regional Water Board. We're talking about concerns that state officials have about California's rainy season and the effect it could have on areas burned by our recent wildfires. And we're looking at the risk of flooding and contaminated water and also getting some tips on how to reduce the damage that they can cause. Margaret asks, I noticed yesterday evening that the streets of Larkspur in Marin County were covered in what looked like soap suds, especially where tire tracks were. In one spot where runoff enters the dry creek bed, there was an enormous pile of lofty soap suds. Is this related to the ash from the fires? Matt St. John?
You know, it's a good question, and I don't really know. It could be related to the ash. I mean, it can be very, very fine particulate matter that I could imagine when mixed with water might have a soapy type of an appearance. It also could be the byproduct of a fire retardant that may have been used. Of course, Larkspur wasn't, well, I guess there were some local brush fires in that area, so it could have been related to a fire retardant.
Hmm. Well, Keith, speaking of fire retardant, Keith wonders, what about the possibility of stronger red tides and algae blooms from the fire retardant getting into the bay? This could affect fishing and crabbing and oyster farming, not to mention surfing.
Well, there are those concerns. The types of fire retardants that are used by the CAL FIRE and others that put these fires out have gotten a lot better in terms of having less toxic effect, but they often do include nitrogen and phosphorus, which are nutrients that can, when entered, you know, get into water bodies, can cause a what's called a biostimulatory response and lead to algae blooms, like the commenter noted. So that is very much a concern.
And that will be monitored to make sure that it's not having the effect that Keith is writing about, it sounds like you're saying.
It will certainly be monitored. We're working with water districts, the Sonoma County Water Agency, USGS, to do monitoring, to evaluate and assess the impacts resulting from these fires. And that will include parameters like nutrients, absolutely.
Well, let's hear from Michelle in Napa. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
So as somebody that works in the water industry, trained in water treatment, I think it should be maybe defined that there are basically three water systems, say maybe within the city. There's the stormwater system, sewer, and then, of course, potable water systems. So stormwater does not typically interact with potable water systems, nor do sewer, unless, of course, there's a break in either one of those mains, so to speak. And the boil water notice is most likely out of the abundance of caution that the water systems who and any municipality can't vouch for the fact that when the firefighters are fighting a fire, they turn off a hydrant, and your experts would know this, there could be a cause or a possibility of back siphonage. So rather than take the chance, they'll have a boil water only notice.
I see. Michelle, I'm curious what, if anything, is your biggest concern related to the rainy season and the effect that it could have post-fires?
Well, if you're a surface water facility, then you obviously monitor the kind of water that you're getting into your treatment plant, and then you would go accordingly. You know, you would, whatever chemicals that treatment plants use for surface water, they know, you know, they get reports all the time. I know municipalities that test their water in-house lab work every 2 hours, and that's a 24/7, 365 system. So they're very aware of water quality and what goes on. And, you know, with these fires, most likely the focus should be on storm drain because that's where everything goes in. And I agree with your expert that says that straw wattles, and anything like that
can help.
Storm drain makes sense, but my concern was that they were confusing sewer, storm, and potable water systems. And, you know, a sewer system, a sewer line is typically, you know, 2 to 4 feet below a potable water line. Just in case there's a break, it won't break downward into a potable water system, therefore seeping into any kind of potable water distribution system, if that makes any sense.
Well, Michelle, thank you for making that distinction. And Matt St. John, do you want to add anything to what Michelle is saying about our water system and also the process of contaminants? I'm actually curious if you know, there is contamination of water sources. Mm-hmm. I know that there are, Matt St. John, ways to, you know, check and monitor it as it goes in. But once it goes in, you know, what can you do about it?
Yeah, well, I really, really appreciate the distinctions that Michelle just made, and she's spot on. As far as, you know, protections of the drinking water systems, as Michelle pointed out, the local water districts are doing the testing very regularly, and they're reporting it and getting that information out to their drinking water users. And as Michelle notes, for these fires, the really key controls that need to be in place are on stormwater protections. So, as I mentioned earlier, you know, that's preventing those runoff from both the natural landscape and the urban landscape from to the best we can, keeping those contaminants, controlling those sources before they get into either to creeks or to urban stormwater collection systems.
Well, Robin writes, your guests discuss drinking water being filtered, but the storm drains and creeks will receive the debris. What about a retention pond in each neighborhood where water is diverted and collected, then filtered before being discharged to storm drains? What do you think of that, Matt St. John?
So, absolutely. The Sonoma County Water Agency, the City of Santa Rosa, are already implementing measures like that where feasible to actually trap and can store runoff water, provide some level of either just natural treatment through sediment, you know, the particles settling out, or potentially even diverting that stormwater to our sewer system. So those are management practices that were, strategies that we're putting together right now.
Well, let's hear now from Dan in Castro Valley. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Hi, I'm Dan Gleisenkamp with the California Native Plant Society, and I just wanted to answer some questions folks had about how nature is going to recover. You know, first, this has been a terrible fire, and a lot of our members, a lot of folks have really been hit really hard. And so I want to make it clear that we recognize that, while still recognizing that for the natural systems there, this is not necessarily a terribly bad thing. These plants, these animals, they've lived with fire for millions of years. And for a thousand generations, Native Americans used fire to manage these forests. And so from the plant perspective, from the perspective of the land, this is a chance for renewal and restoration. And these trees, many of them will survive. I think there's a lot here that we can learn, that this doesn't have to be the end of, you know, the amazing connection between culture and economy and nature that wine country has really pioneered. And so I would just encourage folks who are interested in helping their land to recover, the first principle is do no harm, except that nature has an amazing ability to renew itself, especially in these systems that really have been kind of hungry for a fire for a while. And the trees will resprout, we'll get wildflowers coming up. The worst thing we can do in many cases is try and fix it when it isn't actually broken. And so this is a chance for us to actually, you know, take a look at it, observe the patterns of nature, and appreciate that there are things out there bigger than ourselves that really can take care of themselves. It's a, like the super bloom last spring, really a lot of us found some real inspiration in it. And I hope that other folks will have that chance.
Well, Dan, thank you for that point. Mike Mierswa, do you want to comment at all on that? And also just on how unique these particular fires are from previous wildfire seasons in terms of the risks that you are concerned about?
Sure. First, I really thank Dan for his comments. He brought up some really excellent points, and that's why when we're going through and deploying measures, we're really interested in protecting the actual structures that are exposed, but the watersheds themselves will recover over time. Another one of the things that happens out there to help understand what's happening in a burn area is the National Weather Service does go through and it changes the models that generate the runoff and forecast all of the flood flows through, to account for the changes in the landscape conditions out there following these flood events.
Well, Mike Mierswa, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Mike Mierswa is lead flood management planner for the California Department of Water Resources. And Matt St. John, thank you as well.
Very welcome. Thank you.
He's executive officer of the North Coast Regional Water Board. And we have another hour of Forum next. We're going to be talking with former U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. Stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.